Interested in the topic of self-esteem and self-confidence when I was a Rav in London, England, under Lord Jacobowitz, Zichron Livracha, and L'Havdil Ben Chaim L'Chaim, Dayan Ehrenschroy, the Av Beis Din, a London Beis Din, and Chief Rabbi Sachs. My good friend Rabbi Shimon Kurland was the head of the Or LaGaula program in Yerushalayim, at Rosh Sameach, and he told me that he has a position for me available in London. And I said, London, Ontario? Because I'm from Canada. He said, no, London, England. I said, where's London, England? I'm not going to London, England. And I ended up in London, England as a Rav, because my good friend Rabbi Kurland, who's the Dean of Darkei Bina Seminary, sent me there. So I was a Rav in downtown London, and we lived across the street from Kensington Palace Gardens, the palace of Princess Diana. So we lived across the street, and my kids would play in the gardens, the seesaws and the rubber mats and the climbing frames outside the gardens in Kensington Palace Gardens, Shabbos afternoon, Yontif afternoon, and oftentimes the helicopter bearing Princess Diana would hover and land outside the palace, and I would tell my children, I'd bend down and say, look, there's the helicopter of Princess Diana and Prince Charles. And she would get out of the helicopter and wave to the children and say, look, there she is. Oftentimes, her helicopter, her Royal Air Force red helicopter, would hover over our house. It was 200 yards across the street from her house. Would hover over our house at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning, as if it was going to land on top of our house, next door to the shul called the New West End Synagogue, downtown London. And I told my wife, I said, Julie, you know, the princess is keeping very late hours. I'm going to have a word with her. She's not being a very good example to the community. Well, a person should be careful what they say, because when you say something, it might come true. And on November 29th, 1996, I walked into my barber shop, Lucas's Hair Salon on Bayswater Road, across the street from the palace, and there I saw a woman sitting on a chair next to a boy having his haircut who looked exactly like Princess Diana. So I went into the shop and I said, I turned to the gentleman across on the couch and I said, is that the princess? He said, I don't know. It turns out he was her security guard. So a young woman ran into the shop and said, may I have a photograph with you? I said, ah, this was my 15 minutes of fame. I was about to meet the Princess of Wales. And I turned to the princess and I sat down opposite her, 6 feet away, and I said, Princess, I'm the rabbi of the New West End Synagogue in St. Petersburg Place around the corner. She cut me off in mid-sentence. And she said, it appears as if rabbis can take off half an hour for a haircut. I rose to the occasion and I said, it appears as if even princesses can take off a half an hour for a haircut. And this is just after she revealed on the Panorama television program, which is just like 60 minutes here in America, that she was having problems with the royal family. She had bulimia. She was about to get divorced from Prince Charles. And I said, Princess, we have a saying in Hebrew, Chazak ve'ematz, be strong and have good courage. I wish the princess well. And I went to the back of the store to get my hair washed, to come back, and Lucas said, Rabbi, sit down. And as they were leaving, the princess were leaving with none other than Prince William, who is now married to Kate Middleton, had his third child. And they live in the palace gardens across the street where we used to live. So Lucas said to me, with his scissors like this, Rabbi, sit down. I said, I can't sit there. He said, why not? I said, that's the throne chair, just vacated by the future King of England. If I sat there, I'll never be able to wash these hands again. Lucas said, Rabbi, sit down. When your barber speaks, you listen. So I sat down, had my haircut, and I was very excited, Erev Shabbos, to meet the Princess of Wales and the future King of England. I came home, got ready for Shabbos, went to shul, came back, and said, Julie, you'll never guess who I just met. I just met the future King of England and the Princess of Wales. And I stopped and looked at the Shabbos table, white tablecloth, beautiful candles, challah guests, children bathed for the first time in a week, looking angelic. I said, look, he's a king, I'm a king. She's a queen, I'm a queen. Because as my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapira, Zecher Tzadik Livracha says, what is kingship? What is malchus? The essence of malchus is not to rule, not to lead, not to legislate. Malchus means to give, to protect, to look after. That's what malchus means. When you refer to Kadosh Baruch Hu as Melech Malachi Amlachim, it's referred to him as the giver, as the Baal Chesed, as the Baal Achsanya. And I thought at that moment that if I want to be a giver, if we are all descendants of Avram and Sarah, as the Gemara says, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachin heim, we're all princes and princesses. If we want to be a king and a queen, and you want to be Baal Chesed, the prerequisite for being a Baal Chesed means you must feel good about yourself. You have to have self-confidence, you have to have self-esteem, you have to have something called the self. Because if you are self-absorbed, and as many of my clients say, they don't say they're confused. They say, I'm fun-cused. They're confused about their life. They're self-absorbed. They're trying to work themselves out. If you try to work yourself out, and you're not sorted out, you're not aligned with yourself, you don't have a self, you don't have an identity, you don't now have a self-esteem, it's not possible to think about somebody else. It's not possible to be a person who is a Baal Chesed unless you are yourself a worked out person. And therefore I said that the prerequisite for being a Baal Chesed is to work yourself out. I want to share with you today a system that I've developed, a five-part system called the Believe in Yourself program. I'm going to teach you here this morning five steps, five parts of how to teach to our Talmidim and Talmidos how to build up their sense of self and how to build up self-esteem and self-confidence and resilience and emotional intelligence. There are five parts to this system. Each part I'm going to present today, which is going to be about 15 minutes each, total 75 minutes, and then we'll have a few minutes for questions. The three parts of the self are the cognitive. You can take a look at it on your handout. The handouts here at the front. Thank you so much. Thank you, Shkach. The three parts of the self, looking at our handout here, are cognitive. You have to have a mental awareness of your kochos, emotional, an emotional awareness of your kochos, and behavioral. You have to act in alignment with your thoughts, your feelings, and then you're able to act appropriately. This depiction here, cognitive, the mind, the emotion, the heart, and the behavior, the actions, according to Rabbi Chaim Vital in Shar Kedusha, is that the three parts of the self are the neshama, which is machshava, the ruach, which is dibur, regesh, feelings, emotions, and the behavior, the nefesh, the part of the neshama called nefesh, which is attached to the guf. So these three developments of self need to be aligned and in place for a person to be able to function properly. Cognitive, emotional, and behavioral. Neshama, ruach, nefesh. According to Rav Moshe, a person lives here. We live in the ruach. We live in the emotional self. That's where the ratzon lives, the will. The Bechira lives here in the Ratzon, in the torso, in the heart. The Seichel is in the heart. And we choose to live and respond to different emotional states, anger, frustration, motivation, happy, sad, from here. And the option is that we have is to either go down into gravity, into the nefesh, which is our natural state. Our natural state is to go down into the nefesh of Bahamis, to respond to an insult, or pain, or frustration, and to go down into the body, and to respond with an animalistic nefesh of Bahamis response. Go down into gravity and respond this way. The more difficult approach is to go against gravity, to go from here, to go from the Ruach, against gravity, into the Neshama, and to make a Neshama Dibur response by saying, that hurts my feelings, let's talk about it. Instead of, let's step outside and let's work it out outside. That's what the Nefesh says. The Nefesh says, so my Ruach is activated, I operate from here, this is where we live, here, in the Ruach, the emotional state. I naturally, automatically go down into my body and say, oh yeah? But to be able to counteract that and to go against gravity, I need to be conscious. I need to be awake, aware that I have these three parts of the self. So the first workshop in the five-part workshop is the cognitive. Once we have this alignment of mind, heart, and action, then workshop four, the fourth development, is moving forward with initiative and drive. So workshop four, which we'll talk about this morning, is initiative and drive to make a difference. And number five is to have resilience. So if you open up your workshop, you'll see through this overview, workshop one is self-awareness, identity, and self-worth. Workshop two is emotional awareness. Workshop three is self-motivation and initiative. Workshop four is leadership and thinking outside the box. And workshop five is resilience and bouncing back. These are the five parts of selfhood, which I'll share with you now in different sections, 10 minutes each section. Workshop number one. Self-esteem, the current research on self-esteem is that we're not talking about self-esteem, we're talking about self. Self-understanding. I have to know myself. Da'es atzmecha. I have to formulate an identity as to who I am. For this, I have to choose. I have to exercise my bechira to choose an identity, to formulate who I am. And the key question we have to ask ourselves when we are faced with a challenge is, breathe, stop, be conscious, and say, who is responding to this situation? Who am I? Mi ani. Da es atzmecha. That's called consciousness. And for this, for our talmidim and talmidos, we introduce this exercise called the Wheel of Strengths. The Wheel of Strengths is a circle divided up into six sections: your intellectual skills, social skills, personality, which is midos, spirituality, ruchnius, your family background, and your accomplishments. Six dimensions of self. These are the six dimensions in the understanding of selfhood, brought down by many self-esteem experts, self-identity theorists, about how to divide up the sense of self into these six sections. There is nothing else. These six sections are the sum total of who you are. You have to figure out what these six are, then you have a handle on yourself. I presented these five workshops in three different schools in Baltimore for the past year, and I have a five-minute clip of each of the sections that I'm going to share with you now. So I'm going to share with you how I interacted with the students through interactive programs, because a student remembers 20% of what they hear and 80% of what they do. passively sitting and listening to a lecture or a shiur, they'll remember, as we do when you go to a shiur, 20% of what we heard. But if we do an action, an exercise, and we do experiential exercises to understand the shiur, we do something, we'll remember 80% of what we heard. So in each one of these exercises, I do an exercise, a physical, experiential, interactive workshop exercise, team dynamics exercise, which you can do as well. And part of my workshop this morning is to help you understand how to give these over, and also to train, I'm proposing a training program to train mechanchim how to give this over in your local schools. Here's the first one, called... Believe in yourself. You have to transport the vase in the transporter. The only condition is that when the vase is in the transporter itself, you can't move. You yourself can't move. So if it's in the transporter, you have to stand still. On your mark. Get set. Go. Oh my gosh, you both dropped it. $800 on each side. $800. You have to find the vase. The vase broke. It's all in pieces somewhere on the floor. The marble represents a vase they had to bring from the school to their kala teacher, their teacher, who just got engaged symbolically. They're transporting it in a transporter. If the marble drops, they have to go and collect money to get a new vase. How about if we stop for a second? When you see a challenge not working,
okay, I give up.
You give up? Perhaps you should discuss with each other by consensus through you have to talk to somebody, problem solving, and see if you can solve the problem. What can you do? Discuss it. What did you use in order to achieve success in transporting the kala vase all the way from the mall to her house in time for the vort? What strengths were used?
Common sense.
What other strengths did you use? Yes.
Listening and understanding what others are telling you.
Attention.
A lack of attention. Very good. You needed attention. Give me another word for attention.
Listen, participating.
Participating, yes. Each person, what happens if one of the three did not participate? What would happen? So it means that everybody needed to participate. You needed participation, teamwork. Teamwork. What's another word for attention?
Attentive.
Attentive, yes. What else? What's this called?
Focus.
Yes, focus. Eye contact. Eye contact. What's another word? When you're studying and you get a text from a friend and you're studying and you go like...
Concentration.
Right. Yeah. Concentration.
Well, creativity.
Yes. Excellent. Creativity. Now, what happens when you kept on dropping the vase? Come up with a new idea. What's required there? To come up with a new idea, you had to do what?
Brainstorming.
Excellent. And someone said a very, very dangerous word. Think. That's a very dangerous word. Had to think. Why is thinking a bad word?
Because we might get an idea and change stuff.
Oh, you might think outside the box, right? Think outside the box. Outside the box. Am I really saying thinking outside the box is a bad thing?
No.
Am I being, what am I being? I'm being
sarcastic.
Right. Thinking outside the box is a very good thing because you can think creatively and figure things out. Oh, what you said was this, right? Attention, focus, eye contact, concentration, participation, teamwork, creativity, brainstorming, thinking outside the box. Any other ideas?
Compromise.
Compromise. Why is compromise necessary?
Because if someone wants to do this way and you want to do that way, then you have to compromise so it makes you happy.
Yeah, and you'll end up, if you don't compromise... Okay, so this was an interactive exercise. I gave them a marble, each team. I gave them a PVC piece of tube. I said, transport it, go. But once you have the marble, which is the vase, in your PVC transporter, you yourself can't move. So they had to figure out how to work together. And I asked them, what are the things you do, you need to do in order to be successful at this activity? And you heard the list of activities, of things we had to do. I then went on to do this exercise with them, which I want to do with you right now. This is your wheel of strengths. This is what you can give to your Talmidim and Talmidos, and ask them, what kochos did Hashem give you with which to deal with life's challenges? And I want to share that with you now as well. I want to ask everyone to do this with me interactively right now. Please fill in under the section called intellect, two strengths you personally have of intellect, of how you use your mind to deal with life challenges. How are you a problem solver? Write down under the section called intellect, how you use your mind to deal with challenges. Are you analytical? Are you rational? Logical? Do you use a Gemara cup to figure something out? The Gemara trains us how to think properly, so we can, an Adam Gadol is not trained in business, but he uses the training of the Gemara to think properly, to figure out how to apply that idea, that question from the Gemara to a business question. So do you use your Gemara thinking, your critical analysis of Rashi? When you're asking what's bothering Rashi, what you're doing is you're critically analyzing the pasuk, and you're saying what's... Rashi does not ask a question. We have to figure out by inference what Rashi's question is. That's deductive reasoning. You have to deduce from the situation, from the pasuk. So you are using critical analysis, and you can use that kind of thinking to apply to critically analyze any other issue as well. Is that what you use? What are your strengths? Are you a philosopher? A balas machshava? Are you a thinker? Are you a philosopher? Are you a creative thinker? Let's move on to social skills. What are your social skills? Are you outgoing? Are you quiet? Are you a one-to-one person? Are you a confidant? Do you keep a secret? The definition of a secret is something you tell one person at a time. If you keep a secret, then you're a person who is trustworthy. Are you trustworthy in your relationships? Are you reliable? Would you help a friend change a flat tire at 3 a.m. or say, here's my AAA number, call them, I'll let me know how it works out? Are you a giving person? What are your social skills? Third section, personality. And this is the key to this workshop, the entire workshop. Says the Talmud Devaira, the Yud Gimel Midos Harachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy that Hashem Kibyachol has, He instilled in each of us. So He breathed a nefesh, a ruach nemalala, He breathed, vayipach ba'apa nishmas chayim, into each of us. What's the Baskin-Robbins flavor of your neshama? The Baskin-Robbins flavor of your neshama is one of the, or two of the 13 midos of Hashem, and you have to understand what is unique about you, about your neshama. So I'll name them in Hebrew, and again in English, and write down the list on the side here, and then I'd like to ask you to transport two or three of these midos into the section called personality. Hashem, Hashem means consistency. Ani Hashem koydem achet, ani Hashem achar achet. Hashem doesn't change. So translating Hashem's not changing into our terms, when He breathes into some of us the koach of not changing, that is the koach of perseverance. Hashem's Hashem Hashem, when He breathed it into some of us, we have an ability to not change, to persevere, to not give up. Is that your strongest midah? Kale. Kale is power in chesed. It's mighty in chesed. Translating that into our terms, human terms, kale means leadership, power, gvura, power over yourself, strong will, ambition, drive. Is that your strongest midah? A driven, strong-willed person. Kale. Rachum, compassion. Rachum, says the Maral, comes from the word rechem. The womb has an intrinsic rachamim. And the Maral says that the word rechem, says Rav Moshe, comes with machar, which means the woman, nurtures the tomorrow. So rachamim is a nurturing of compassion for tomorrow. Nurturing the child with compassion. That's rechem, machar, rachamim. Chanun. Chanun is chen. Chen is empathy, sensitivity, nurturing. The difference between rachamim and chen, chanun, is rachum is taking care of somebody's physical needs. Chanun is taking care of someone's emotional needs. Rachum v'chanun, two different aspects of the personality. Erech hapayim, patience, laid back, relaxed, chilled. I went up to a bunch of kids who were smoking on Shabbos near my house. A number of years ago, they were kids off the derech. I said, "What's going on, guys? What's happening?" They said, "We're just chilling." I said, "What's chilling mean?" He says, "Well, just hanging out and not having anybody tell us what to do. That's what chilling is." That's a mindset of kids off the derech. They're always being told, directed, pushed what to do. That's their view. What I heard. Erech Apayim. Rav Chesed, giving, always thinking how to help somebody else. MS, honesty, integrity. Doing the right thing, MS. Someone's makbid in halacha, not speaking lashon hara, MS. Notzer chesed, creativity. The Ramban, Al HaTorah, says that notzer chesed comes from the word mashbiach, to add to develop, to embellish. As notzer chesed traditionally means to hold back, to preserve, but the Ramban says in the second pshat that mashpiach, it means to add to. Noitzer chesed, to add to chesed, to embellish chesed, to add to. That's creative, with art, with music, with ideas, creative thinker. That's noitzer chesed. Noisei avon vafesho is forgiving. There are three included there. Noisei avon vafesha v'chata'a v'nakei. That's three. Hashem Hashem is two. And v'nakei, nakei means purity or tshuva, which means resilience, to bounce back. So you have here 13. So I'd like to ask you, which two or three of these midos are your strongest midos? And place them here under personality or / midos. Which are your three strongest midos? Rachum, Chanun, Erech Apayim, strong will, forgiving, resilience. And I have students do this as well with themselves. And they develop a picture. They start developing a picture of who they are. And we develop a picture of who we are, and the Kochos Hashem instilled in us in order to make a difference in Klal Yisrael. So write down the two or three Kochos you have. If you'd like to see a more detailed analysis of this question, in my book, Bring Out the Best, on page 47, it has the Wheel of Strengths, and the questions you ask students or yourself on how to develop this wheel of strength. So certain questions we ask, and you can pick it up on in this book, Bring Out the Best. Spirituality. Next section is spirituality. In what way are you inspired? I'm not talking asking you how from you are. Spirituality. How are you connected to Hashem? Is it through nature? Do you see Hashem's hand in the Bria? Do you feel something on Shabbos? Do you experience Shabbos? The Siva Shalom says that if a person does not experience and feel the Kedusha of Shabbos, they will go to the world to come, Olam Haba, and they will become a safsal the Olam Haba. Whatever you experience here is what you're going to experience there. The Olam Haba is a repeat, says Rav Moshe, of the next world. There's no place where you just cash in your points in the next world. There's no new world with Kalahari Resorts pictures and there's no new world there. It's the same world. Olam Haba mitoch Olam Hazeh, says the Al-Sheikh. It's a world which comes out of this world. Whatever you experience in this world, you're going to re-experience in the next world in a higher Madrega. But if you don't experience it in this world, you're not going to experience it in the next world. If you don't experience Shabbos in this world, you're not going to experience Shabbos in the next world. You have to feel it. So I'm talking about spirituality, not just being from. As Rav Moshe says, doing mitzvahs, kimo eitz, like a piece of wood, says Rav Moshe. But doing it like you're alive, like you're conscious. Experience Torah, experience Hashem. This is called God consciousness. To be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to feel, to experience, to be alive with the presence of Hashem. That's spirituality. What inspires you? What energizes you with your Yiddishkeit? Is it chesed? Is it teaching? You come alive when you're teaching, connecting with students, connecting with somebody, one-to-one, mechazik somebody. What is your alive factor? Family. What's your family background? Meaning, what do you contribute to your family? What kind of contribution do you make? Are you the encourager of the family? Are you the provider for the family? Are you the motivator of the family? Are you the mechazik of the family? Are you the confidant of the family? What do you contribute? These are kochos and nefesh, intellectual, social, midos, spirituality, family. How do you make a difference in your family? And accomplishments really means growth. What are you working on? What are you working on to grow personally? I'm trying to work on being positive. I'm trying to work on walking in the house and leaving my clients' issues behind and walking in going, hi guys, how are you doing? How's everything? Instead of going, how was your day? Leave Abba alone, he's having a tough day. I don't want anybody to ever say that. My wife say to the kids, leave Abba alone, he's had a tough day. Right? My face is the Rishus HaRabim. My panim reflects my pnim, says Rav Moshe. My panim reflects my pnim. And if I am depressed, bapnim, my panim shows it. Then it's my responsibility to change that. That's what I'm working on. What are you working on? And I ask the students, I'm working on X. What are you working on? So here we have a wheel of strengths. Based on this exercise of what did you do, I listed a few things that they had to do as a team, and then I asked them, what do you do as an individual? And I say, keep this wheel, and let's do some homework. And during, I run this workshop once a month, and then I ask the mechaneches, or the mechanech, or the rebbe, to run 3 weeks of 20 minutes a week using the Believe in Yourself Personal Roadmap Workbook. And every week over lunchtime, or finding 15 minutes to work together with the mechanech who was there at the time of this workshop, to reinforce these ideas of self-esteem and using the wheel, I ask them, so next week, so Yossi, how did you use your social skills today? Oh good, very good, let's report back. How did you use your midos tovos today? Oh good, well done. Okay, Shoshana, what did you do? How did you use your ruchnias today? How did you use your contribution skills today? And they are able to reinforce the use of this wheel of strengths during the intervening 3 weeks until the second workshop takes place a month later. So there's 5 workshops, 5 months intervening. There's a personal growth workshop, workbook with exercises that the mechaneches does with the students. And under self-confidence, self-esteem, it's about me. It's about me page. which is, am I work independently? Do I smile? Am I creative? Am I a team player? It's not here in your book. It's not here in your book. This is a separate booklet which I will give out in the training session when I run the training session on May 27th and June 3rd. I'll run a training session webinar on to train you, those who want to sign up and register for your school, how to give over this program. I will give out this workbook. So every week for 3 weeks, we work on these exercises for 15 minutes to reinforce this workshop until the next one comes. Workshop number two. Number two is emotional intelligence. The Ruach. Please open up your handout. Looking to workshop number two. And you see in this workshop number two, I am lying down listening to my favorite song. Everything is peaceful and quiet. I feel what? Open up your next page. Look at the next page. Which card? Do I cut out these cards? Give them to the students. And the students will lift up. Am I calm, surprised, relaxed, concerned, cranky, disappointed, bored, hurt, happy, confused, upset, sad, interested, nervous, angry, depressed? There are actually two more pages of these emotional states. But a very key awareness of self is emotional awareness. To teach a student and a child, and in parentheses ourselves, how to identify what I'm feeling. If I know how I'm thinking and I know how I'm feeling, then I know how to act. This is an alignment. That's where your head's filling. Neshama shebemeichi. The zraya tefillin, next to the heart, neged halev is the emotions. And then if my mind and my heart are aligned, then I can act and make good choices. So this second workshop, which I'll show you now, I had in this program that I present to the 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th and 8th grade. It can be done to 4th grade, it can also be done in 9th grade or 10th grade. But I did a pilot project this year for 4 grades, 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th. It can be used for the other grades as well. And I ran these workshops in different grades. And I used, for the lower grades, 5th grade and 6th grade, 8th grade leaders from the higher grade in the same school. I trained them for 45 minutes before this workshop of what to say, what to do, how to help me run the program. So this is called peer-led exercises. I found in my research that when you give a workshop and you use peers to lead the workshop, it is much more effective, much better received, much better heard by the students, because they identify with, they look up to a little older kids, a little older than themselves. Like, you're in eighth grade? Wow. And they have their rapt attention when they're involved. So in this next one, you'll see, I used eighth grade leaders. I trained them for 45 minutes before the session, and then they ran this session. So you see, the first thing you'll see now in workshop number two is some of the eighth graders reading out an emotional event, and the students are going to be picking up their cards, and they're going to write what emotion I'm experiencing because of that card. Okay, so I'm going to show you this workshop now. Workshop number two, it's 5 minutes, and then we'll move on to the next one. One second. Here we go. Second. Number two. This is the 5th grade. Benos Yisrael, Baltimore. Fifth grade.
I have to give a presentation in front of the entire class. My hands are shaking.
I woke up late this morning and forgot my phone and my lunch.
Cranky and depressed. Your mind does not speak out loud. Your mind is speaking silently to yourself, And I want you to be aware your mind is talking to you all the time, right? It's saying things to you. What is your mind saying to you when you're excluded?
I'm not popular. I'm like just the weird girl.
I'm not popular. I'm weird. I'm not part of the group. I'm left out. I'm not a good person, right? Your mind is saying those things. And because your mind says that to you, then how do you feel?
Angry,
annoyed, sad. When you have something sad happen to you, let's say, tell me something sad that can happen to you.
Like, let's say someone, you hear that someone died or something.
Let's say you heard that someone died, right? Did anyone hear this week someone who was very involved in the community passed away? Did you hear about that? Anybody? Right? So there was a lady who did a lot of chesed in the community, and unfortunately she was nifter this week, right? And we're sad. We're sad about that. So our mind can say to ourselves, what? What can your mind say to you?
Like, oh no, I feel so bad and I feel sorry for them.
That's right. I feel so bad for that person. And what can you say to yourself to give you yourself encouragement to change the bad feeling to a positive feeling?
Like, she was such an amazing person.
Very good. So think about the positive that she did, and maybe I could be like her. I got a bad grade and people making fun of me. So what can I say in my mind to repair the negative feeling? What can my mind say to me to fix that negative feeling? Next time I'll get a better grade. Right. What else can you say?
Maybe I was absent a few days. I was trying the hardest because other girls just get good grades and they're not on the track.
When you're feeling sad, remember an important thing. You're never alone. Because you can always do what? When you're feeling sad, what can you do about your sad feelings? You can comfort yourself. Very good. When you're sad, you can comfort yourself by saying positive words. That's one thing you can do. If you want to be depressed and sad, then you can. You could choose to be depressed. You could choose to be sad. Right? Things can happen and you can go, I don't want to be sad right now. I want to be depressed. And you can decide, and I'm not going to get happy for 3 days. You're going to walk around like this for 3 days. But that would be your what?
Decision.
Your decision. It would be your, also another way of decision is you'll be your choice. You're choosing to be sad. You're choosing to be depressed. And you could also choose to say to yourself, you know what? You know what?
I'm choosing to be depressed, but like there's something fun going on that I could.
So I'm missing out. I'm deciding I'm missing out. I might as well pick myself up. And what's the word we used? Pick myself up and what's it called when you roll back, another word? Roll back, it's called what? What's it called?
Bounce back.
Everyone say the words together. 1, 2, 3.
Bounce back.
Excellent. And you can always, and this is the most important thing, ladies, listen to me. We'll end with this. If you're feeling sad, share your feelings with a parent or a teacher. You could say to somebody, I'm feeling sad. Could you help me?
Expressing yourself,
right. You have the power to be able to help yourself. Everybody, Hashem helps those who
help themselves.
You have to help yourself. You're never alone. There's always someone to help you, but you have to speak up for yourself and say, I'm having difficulty right now. Could you please help me? I'm sad right now. I'm overwhelmed right now. I'm anxious right now. Share your feelings. Don't keep them bottled up inside. What happens when you keep your feelings bottled up inside like a bottle of Sprite and you shake it up? Has anyone ever had a shaked up bottle of Sprite that's closed and then you open it up after it's shaking up? What happens to it?
It explodes.
A big spray, right? You get angry or upset or sad or depressed or anxious, use your words and express yourself. I want to thank our 8th grade leaders. Wonderful job.
This is something I have noticed. Sometimes our girls are very sad. They don't feel ready to say it. And their thoughts are coming to their feelings, but it's hard for them to say it. And sometimes if I tell girls you can write what you're feeling, it's easier to write it and give it to their mother or their teacher. So sometimes that helps. After you say what you're feeling when you're sad, like to your mother, does it make you feel better or worse? If you think it makes you feel better, keep your hand up. If you think it doesn't make you feel better, raise your hand. Okay, most girls think it feels better. Okay, that's very important.
Okay, that's the second one, dealing with emotions. And what I'm saying here to the girls, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, is know what you're feeling. Identify your emotions by the cards that you have in your handout. Identify your emotions. Know what you're feeling. Da es atzmich. Da es atzmicha. And then learn to have your mind tell your feelings it's okay. Your mind controls your feelings. If you wake up in the morning and you feel depressed or sad, it's because something happened to you last night, subconsciously, that is making your thoughts tell yourself to be depressed. There's no such thing as feelings without pre-existing, precursing thoughts. No such thing. Your thoughts, your feelings come from thoughts. That's why this is an entire system, cognitive, emotional, behavioral. I feel lousy. Well, let's talk about it. Why do you feel lousy? Well, something happened yesterday, or 2 days in school, or someone said something to me. Identify for the child, the Talmud, or yourself, or your kids. Why are you feeling down? It is invariably coming from a thought that you're interpreting something which happened earlier that day, or 5 minutes ago, or the previous day, and therefore your mind is saying to yourself, oh, this is no good, this is lousy, this is terrible, you're no good. Your mind is telling that to you. And I teach students as early as 4th and 5th grade that you can train your mind to tell your heart otherwise. It all depends on how you interpret the event. That's terrible. No, that's a challenge. That's a disaster. No, it's a challenge to overcome. It all depends on the language you're using on the interpretation. If you use language by, how was your day? Horrible. Terrible. Well, it's very hard to get out of that box. How was your day? Challenging. What did you do to meet the challenge? Right? So my wife has something every time at the table, every night at the table, and it's really important for families to eat together. Eye-to-eye contact. Studies have shown that families that eat together 5 out of 7 nights a week are more successful socially and academically. Lower drug problems, lower juvenile delinquency. If you eat 5 out of 7 nights a week, together with your family, eye-to-eye contact, pass the salt, how was your day? My wife says, everyone goes around the table and says, what was the best thing that happened to you today? And now she says, and what was the hardest thing that happened to you today? And how'd you deal with it? And we have this exercise around the table to be emotionally aware. So a person can feel feelings. And you're allowed to feel feelings. You're supposed to feel angry and jealous. Hashem put that in us. But you don't have to act on them. Here you have mind, emotions. But just because you feel lousy doesn't mean you have to be depressed and lie in bed for 3 days. Just because you feel angry doesn't mean you have to hit somebody. So your mind tells you something that this is bad. And you react emotionally, but you don't have to act on it. That's a three-part system of mind, emotions, and actions. And as teachers, we empathize with students. We say there must have been a tough thing. So there's 3 steps to empathize. Emotional support for spouses and for children and for talmidim and talmidos is as follows. There are 3 steps to emotional support. It's a science. Number one, identify the emotion. You must be feeling sad right now, or it must be hard for you right now, or you must be frustrated right now. Identify the emotion. Number two, understand the emotion. That makes sense. You're upset because you didn't do well in your class. You worked so hard on that behina, and you didn't do well. I understand that. That makes sense to me. As opposed to saying, don't worry about it, it'll be okay, it'll do better next time. No, that's not empathizing. That's not validating feelings. That must be really hard for you. Wow, that must be tough. Teacher said what to you? Oh, that must be really hard. How'd you feel? Abandoned, put down, sad? Yeah, that must be really hard. Stay with the feeling. That's understanding the feeling. And number three is just be with it. Be with the feeling. Just sit there and say, I'm with you. Until the child processes, or gentlemen, wife, processes her feelings, right? Or a lady's husband, until they process their feelings and they go like this, they go, that breath is called emotional closure. You cannot logically teach a child how to overcome a problem when they're emoting. Gentlemen, you cannot teach your wife or solve a problem for your wife while she's emoting. Let her vent, right? And then she'll go like this. She'll go, and then, well, let's solve the problem. Let's move on to the problem. But you have to let the child or wife or husband close the gap, close the flap of emotional cooking, emotional cooking. Until that calms down, then you can do problem solving. That's emotional support. Number three, behavior, action. Let's look at our handout. Workshop number three is motivation and taking initiative. Once your mind can tell your heart, okay, I understand, this is hard, then you can act behaviorally, hands and feet. You can act and do an action which solves the problem. So taking a look, at our circle of control. In your handout, you have, in workshop number three, you have a circle, like this. And outside the circle, there are events which are outside your control, like the weather. If I stand here and say, I want it to be sunny today, and I'm not going to be happy until it's sun shines and it's 85 degrees today. And I'm getting depressed and have a tantrum until that happens. Is it going to help me? No. Why? Because it's outside my control. Terrorism is outside my control. I'm worried about terrorism. I'm worried about my test tomorrow. It's outside your control. Keyword control. Other people's words, actions, thoughts, or feelings. She said something to me. Outside your control. This is called the circle of control. This is a circle of control. Declaring war on Iraq or South Korea, the weather, relationships, other people's actions, outside my circle of control. All anxiety is about something which is outside your control. Think about it. Worried about a test, worried about my mortgage, worried about my job, worried about my relationship, worried about what they're going to say to me, worried about my job interview. Everything that we're worried about, everything we're anxious about, is about something which is outside your control. The only thing that you can do is focus on what's inside your circle of control. What is in your control is my feelings, my words, my actions, my reactions. It's all you can do. If it's raining outside, instead of having a tantrum, get an umbrella. If my wife says something to me that I don't like, breathe in and say, let's talk about it. If I lose my job, breathe in and say, okay, let's figure it out. It's not in my control. What is in my control are my actions and my reactions. So this is called the circle of control, and we'll take a look now at video number three. About taking initiative. If you take control of yourself, then you can take initiative. This is again, fifth grade in Benoist School.
I am a child.
But our initiative experts are our peer leaders. From the eighth grade, we've chosen four experts who are going to help lead us in this workshop. And I want them to come forward over here, please, ladies. Come forward. And please introduce yourselves to the fifth grade as to who you are and a little bit about yourself. Okay, so let's show them some initiative.
I'm Shayna Baden, and I like dancing.
I'm Aaron Podaskin, and I like drawing.
I'm Kyra Katanon Logan, and I like to organize.
I'm Sarah Steed, and I like to cut my
hair. Who can tell me what self-confidence means? Say again.
Believing in yourself.
Excellent. Now, what does believing in yourself mean?
To have confidence and know that you can do well.
Very good. Excellent. What else does believing yourself mean?
To keep on trying.
To keep on trying. Excellent. Really good. What does believing yourself mean?
To feel good about yourself and, not always be like, I'm not good enough, so I can't do it.
This skit is about taking initiative. And from this skit, you're going to learn the definition of initiative. And the skit is about the following. There is a young lady in your class in the eighth grade who unfortunately had an operation. And she's in hospital right now. And after the operation, God willing, she's going to recover. She's going to have to be at home for 3 weeks to recover from the operation. Okay? So you're discussing that situation of your friend being in hospital. Here is the skit. Listen carefully, ladies.
Because I'm so bad, it doesn't have to be a full test. She's only in so much pain. She's probably really lonely. I'm so worried about her.
Okay, so what does it mean to take initiative?
To do something and take responsibility.
To do something and take responsibility. Not just to say, oh, how terrible that is, but to do something and take responsibility. So make it strong enough and sturdy enough to be able to stand up without you holding on to it. Let's see how you can do. So I gave them spaghetti and marshmallows, and I said, build a house.
Let's see.
Two-level house with spaghetti and marshmallows. Oh! Oh my gosh. Almost did it. Let's see this one over here. Is it working? Is it standing up? You can't hold on. Let's let it go. It's falling over. You cut them smaller, and you made it more sturdy that way. Very creative. This group did a very creative job. How's it going over here? Let's see. How's it going?
It's a disaster.
It's a disaster?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Why is it a disaster? Why is it a disaster? Well, you're trying again?
Yeah.
You're being resilient, right? You're trying again. Right? You're not giving up. You're going to do it again. Well done. Excellent. Look at this one over here. Beautiful. You cut them small. You made it sturdy. Good thinking. Very creative thinking outside the box.
Yeah, we don't have enough marshmallows.
We'll give you more marshmallows. What can you do to make the house stand up using your creative mind and using initiative? What do you think? Let's see if you can do it. You're having a house? It's falling over. Your house? It's falling over. Have you ever thought, instead of looking at yourself, why don't you put your sets together and see whether they could lean on each other and stand up? Let's see. Can you ever think about that? What about thinking outside the box and taking initiative and say, you know what? Hi, my neighbor. My house is falling down. Maybe if you lean them together, perhaps you can make a big house that could stand up. What do you think? Let's try it. You see, if you only do a look after yourself, maybe it won't work. But what happens when you... Is anybody else working together with your neighbor? Let's see. Can you work together with your neighbor and see if you can support each other? Okay, so that was the third one, taking initiatives. Now we have three dimensions that over 3 weeks or 3 months, I'm teaching them neshama state, which means your mind, your cognizant of your kohos, emotional awareness, and the workshop in the Believe in Yourself Roadmap is a follow-up every week after each workshop. And on this one, it's exercises on taking initiative. So after each workshop, each month, the third month, you have three weekly workshops led by the teacher who was present at the original workshop, who works this program throughout the year. It's not just a one-shot operation where you just come in and give a shiur and say, okay, you expect the kids to have self-esteem. It's a one-year program, five-month program, where you continuously reinforce these ideas for Talmidim and Talmidos to work on it every single day, every single week. Number four, leadership. Once you have a mind is aware of your kochos, your emotional state is in check, where you'll be able to regulate your emotions, and then you can act with initiative, you can take steps, you can choose bechira, to choose to act appropriately. Then we talk about the next level, which is leadership. And for leadership, you need a goal to work toward. So Rav Moshe says that the word goal, the goals, are imported into the first pasuk of the Torah. That the first pasuk of the Torah sets out the goal of life. Breishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve'es ha-aretz. Shamayim means sham. The word shamayim means sham. Breishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim. Hashem created sham, there, destination. Ve'es ha-aretz, ratz, ratzon. The purpose of life is shamayim, to go there. And sham is there, and shamayim is the plural of there. The Radak says shamayim in Sefer HaSharashim, that shamayim is from the word sham, there. Which means that we are going there. What's there? There is the place of personal development. To be Shviras HaMidos, to be the best you can be. That's where we're going. Shamayim, there. There means you're going to be the best you can be. That's what shamayim is. How do you get there? Ratz, aretz, run. Ratz comes from the word ratzoin, will. Use your will to get sham, shamayim, there. And shamayim is a plural of sham, which means it's the there of all the theres, which means the ultimate destination is self-development. And when we get there, when we get to Olam Haba, you're going to live in the new person, the person you've developed. But unless you develop yourself here, you're not going to develop yourself, you're not going to know who you are there, unless you develop yourself here. You have to know the tools of how to achieve that, and that's called selfhood. Makshava, ruach, nefesh, cognitive, emotional, behavioral. Here is the fourth one on taking initiative. And this is in the Yeshivas Kochav Yitzchak, Rabbi Hirsch, in Baltimore, sixth grade. A very challenging
the
grade.
The road ahead is paved with possibility, laughter and smiles. When I'm with you, I'm soaring high and free.
Everyone write down one strength you have in each category. Under intellect, how do you use your brain? Write down one leadership quality you have, one koach you have, that you use with your brain. And I see Rabbi Hirsch and Dr. Carter and Rabbi Glazer, I see that they were right. This is the class of leadership, because they're behaving beautifully with responsibility, and they're listening and they're participating. They were right. Dr. Carter, you were right. This is the class of leadership. I want to see what kochos you have of leadership in intellect. What is your best subject? What do you like to learn the best? Are you a thinker? Are you a problem solver? I want you to take the ball, and I want you to pass it to number two. Well, listen. And then number two will pass it to number three, and number three to number four, and number four to number five. And let's see how quickly you can do it. And I want to see how quickly you can do it. There is a world record. There is a world record.
Who's nine?
Okay, ready?
Who's nine?
Okay, that was 58 seconds. Okay? Let's see if you can do it better, faster. Go.
You can't pass it.
Now they lined up in numbers. Before they just randomly had numbers all over the place. Now they said, oh, well, let's figure it faster. So they put the numbers in a row. Now watch what happens next. That's 16.01 seconds. Okay. So you went down from 55 to 16.01. Now, are you ready?
What's the record?
The world record.
It's 3 points.
The world record for this activity in sixth grade is 3.15 seconds.
For 27 grand,
3.15 seconds. In order to win in the activity, you have to listen to the instructions. The instructions are pass it from 1 to 27 in the fastest way possible. We're talking here about leadership. Who is going to take leadership here and come up with an idea? One of the ideas in leadership is one person speaks at a time. So who here is going to get up, step up and say, okay, I have an idea, and then the next person. So let's see, come forward, okay, one person at a time, turn to your group, you're the leader, for this moment you're the leader. Do you have an idea which can make this happen in 3.14 seconds? Let's see, what do you, what's your idea?
Everyone stands in one line and number one, and everyone holds out their hand, number one runs down the line, everyone touches the ball.
So try it. Get set. No? On your mark. Get set. Go. Drop the ball. He dropped the ball. On your mark. Get set. Go. 2.85 seconds.
Yeah. Is that better?
One finger on the hoop. One finger only. One finger. And I want you to take the hoop and bring it down to the floor. Whichever group gets down to the floor together. Not like this, lopsided, and not lopsided, and not upside down. But whoever gets the hoop down to the floor together is the group. But you can't throw it to the floor. Yes. You have to bring it to the floor. One, two, three, go. Okay, let's see how fast you can do it. There's a world record. I'm going to tell you what the world record is in a moment. Okay, ready?
What's the world record?
Ready?
No.
Go. Make a shape with this rope, 50-foot rope. You have to make a shape out of it without speaking. Triangle. Imagine sixth grade boys not speaking. 23.06 seconds. Excellent. And come back onto the same carpet that you were before. So look at the carpet where you are in the room. But as you walk around, I am going to start removing some pieces of carpet. And you have to figure out, how is it possible for you to get back? Let's say you're in this place, and you come back to this place, and there's no carpet there. It's going to be gone. What are you going to do about it?
I have to share with someone.
Oh, you have to share with somebody else, but you can't do it with speaking. I want you to do it with hand motions, or with eyes, or with... But silence. Walked around the room, pulled away the carpet, and they had to end up four people on one piece of carpet. I said, that's leadership with Achdus, different aspects of leadership. And that's the way they'll remember. They're not going to remember me giving them a shiur about leadership, but these action activities called project adventure or experiential activities. Look up online, project adventure activities, interactive team dynamic activities, reinforces these ideas of leadership. achdus, emotional connection, emotion. This is how children will learn. And I encourage you to use these kinds of activities when you give over shir, whether it's a topic in Chumash or in Gemara. Act it out. When they act out something, they'll remember it 80% more than when they just listen passively. So you have to need a goal. And I found that when you have a goal, when a person has a goal to work toward and they're thrown off track, you're able to reset yourself by breathing in. Everyone breathe in. Now remember your Mida Tova. What Mida Tova did you choose before in your Wheel of Strengths? Remember the Wheel of Strengths? Go back to your Mida Tova. Go back to your Mida Tova in the Wheel of Strengths. Under personality, which is Midos, right? Think of a challenge in your life. Go to your Mida Tova. Remember who you are. Use that Mida. Chesed, Gvura, Kale, Resilience, MS, Integrity, Honesty. Go forward. Use that Mida and solve the problem from that Mida. You can solve that problem from the Mida. The Gemara says in Kuf Lamed Gimel in Shabbos, Zekeli v'anveyu. This is my God and I will glorify Him. The Rashi says on Anveyu, Kuf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, Anveyu is made up of two words. I will glorify God. Anveyu is made up of two words. Ani v'hu. How do you glorify Hashem? How do you beautify Hashem? Anveyu. Ani v'hu. Mahu rachum af ata heya rachum. Mahu kadosh af ata heya kadosh. Act like Hashem. Halachta bedrachav means to walk in Hashem's ways. How? Take the Mida Toiva that Hashem has breathed into you. The Mida Toiva of Kale, Rachum, Chanun, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, MS. Be it, live it. That's called Dveikus. That's called having a relationship with Hashem. By using the Mida Toiva Hashem gave you, that's called having a relationship with Hashem. Because Hashem instilled that Mida in you. When you act with that Mida, then you're acting like Hashem. Adama or Adame? Adama is this, right? Adama is I'm going to take my ruach and I'm going to go down into my nefesh. Adama, I'm going to go be down to be Adam. Adama, drowned, nefesh, or Adame. As Moshe says, Edame, I'll be like Hashem. I can go Adama, down into my gravity, or Adame, like Hashem. My choice. Here you're teaching Bechira, you're teaching Neshama, you're teaching Ruach, you're teaching Nefesh, and a person is alone in life. Just to mention for ourselves, we are alone out there in the world. Our Ruach says are alone. And if I allow my gravity to bring me down, I can go down into my gravity and say, I'm lonely. But you can go against gravity and say, I'm unique. Of course you're alone, there's no one else like you. And in my Sefer, Alone Against the World, I talk about all the Avos and Imaos were alone. Avraham Avinu was alone against the world in bringing Emunah to the world. Yitzhak alone on the Mizbeach. Yaakov alone against the angel. Yosef alone in the dungeon. Yonah alone in the Daga. Esther alone in the palace. Sarah alone in the tent. Everybody was alone. Doesn't mean they were lonely. It means alone means unique. And hand-picked by Hashem to achieve a certain destiny. That's in my book, Alone Against the World. So you get a child or a person or a wife or a husband to remember that even though life is difficult, you can rise above it. And that's the last section, last workshop, which we'll finish with this one called Resilience. How to bounce back, how to survive life challenges. And this is the fifth and final workshop, which I'll show you now. Again, Kochav Yitzchak. Share us a Plata, sixth grade, Baltimore. World,
I believe in me. I look into your eyes and see that.
Today we're going to talk about challenges. And the word to deal with challenges is called resilience. Who would know what resilience means? Yes.
Perseverance
is a good word. Almost right, almost right. Not giving up. Resilience means not giving up, and in a short way of saying it, it's called learning to bounce back from a difficulty. to bounce back. What Yontif are we going to about to celebrate where we were on the 49th level of Tuma, the 49th level of spiritual distance from Hashem, spiritual blockage from Hashem, and we're able to bounce back to serve Hashem? What Yontif?
Pesach,
which is our next holiday, right? Give me another example of
willpower.
Please write that down. Willpower. Another example. Yes.
Only look forward. Don't look back. Understand?
Excellent. Only look forward. Don't look back. Please go write that down. Good mitos to get there in the first place, because you have to call upon your... Write that down. Go write that down. Two of you have to run together up to this line. You have to jump in the air and then land at the same time. If you land not at the same time, you don't get a point. If you land on the same time, exactly the same time, and Dr. Carter will be the judge and Rabbi Sheff will be the judge, then you get a point and you raise your hand and tell me yes and I'll give them a point. If not, they don't get a point. Go. And let's see whether the Anivus team can bounce back and be resilient from your 11th to 8th second place finish. On your mark, get set, go. I need to understand here how this 6th grade is going to be able to understand to bounce back. Let's say something didn't go your way. It didn't turn out right. Anivu's team came second twice. You got the silver medal. The gold medal, silver medal. But you would have liked to get the gold medal. You didn't get the gold medal, you got the silver medal. So how is it that you're going to negotiate that and say, well, I think it should be fixed? Or let's say you get a 87 in a Gemara Bechina and you really feel you got a 92. How do you negotiate that and suggest that? How do you react? How do you bounce back from that if you want to negotiate?
We protest.
Oh, you go protest. We protest, okay? Yeah. That's very...
That's what we do.
What you do is you protest. Exactly. That's extremely honest. I really respect your honesty. A lot of groups, what were you doing? Yeah. Practicing. And not only to practice, but you were also... You discussed it. You said, let's do it this way. Ready? 1, 2, 3. And you practiced. So you want to bounce back. You have to practice. You have to discuss. And when you want to come back to somebody, an adult, and you want to negotiate something better, how do you do it? What's the right way to do it? To protest?
No.
Is that the way to bounce back?
No.
No. Then how do you do it properly?
I asked my rabbi if it's proper. He misunderstood my answer.
Maybe rabbi didn't understand my answer. Right. So here, the last point of resilience means you can choose your mood. We are all on this side of the equation, son or daughter, brother, sister, mother, father, friend, employer, worker. We have different kinds of relationships, but right now we are being participant. We are choosing subconsciously to be participant in this program. We're father, mother, Rebbe, Mora. We're all these things. But right this second, you are subconsciously choosing to be a participant. So too here. If you are sitting in this room and you are thinking about something that is making you sad, that's a choice. You're choosing from here, consciously, to make yourself feel badly or sad by thinking about some negative thing. I gave a shiur over Pesach called 10 Ways to be Miserable. Just keep doing what you're doing, right? And one of the ways to be miserable is lie in bed at night and think about all the bad things that happened to you in your life and all the bad things that happened to you today. And then worry about all the bad things that could happen to you tomorrow. But under any circumstances, do not think about what went right today. Do not do that, because then you're going to be happy. Don't do that. Right? Be miserable, think about the past, think about the future. But do not, by any means, live in the present. Yeah, that's a bad thing to do, because then you'll be happy. And we want to be miserable. How do we not want to be miserable? Because we keep getting stuck in being miserable. I guess we like it, right? So it's because we keep reviewing the past or we keep worrying about the future, but live in the present. So we can choose. I can choose to be happy right now. I can say, you know what? All right, I'm going to focus on the good. I can choose to be sad right now. I can choose to be anxious, depressed, frustrated, or motivated. There are only two emotions in life which I teach students in this program. Two emotions in life. Ahava and Yira. Love and fear. Two ways to serve Hashem. Love and fear. Serve Hashem with love. I can be a giver, happy, compliment, or positive. Or I can serve Hashem out of fear, taking, depression, anger, negative. Right? Avas Hashem or Yiras Hashem? Obviously, Avas Hashem is higher than Yiras Hashem. But I have a choice. I can serve Hashem out of Yira or out of Ahava. I'm going to turn down this voice. This voice is too high. Second. So we have a choice. And I ask students and I ask ourselves, how do you want to live? Do you want to live with fear? Or do you want to live with love? And living with love means that you feel loved. Living with fear means you feel you've grew up with fear, grew up with heavy discipline or criticism, etc. So I want to live with love. But if I didn't get love growing up, I have to give myself that love. And that is through this program. This program called the Believe in Yourself program, which I'm suggesting for you to consider, to bring to your school. I'm proposing a training program. Look at the last page, back page. I'm proposing to you today to train educators, mechanchim, mechanchos, online webinar, and the Believe in Yourself Leadership Training webinar, Sunday, May 27th at 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and again on Sunday, June 3rd, 8 to 10 p.m. I'm going to make available to you the five full videos. I have the five full videos of each one of these programs which you can listen to at your leisure. But on these two seminars, for your school, I am going to make available the techniques that I use in each of these programs. I'm going to review what I did today and give more details of what I how to teach over these programs, how to teach over this system of self-esteem. With five workshops, I'm going to make available the Believe in Yourself personal roadmap and give it to each person who registers for this program. So I'm inviting you to register online at my website, yisraelroll.com. This program is funded by one of my funders because he believes in the idea of bringing self-esteem and self-confidence to children and to ourselves. And I think that while we're giving self-esteem to these fifth graders, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders, in the peer program, where you have a peer, let's say you're teaching this to eighth grade, you use the 11th grade in the same school to be the peer leaders for the eighth grade, or the eighth graders being the peer leaders for the fifth grade or the fourth grade. So you also not only teach the fifth graders or sixth graders, but you also teach the older children the same system from a little more sophisticated angle while you're training them to be leaders in this program. So I'm inviting you to sign up and register with for this program and bring it to your school and tell other schools about it. I have my books available here for sale, and I just want to leave you with one last thought from Rav Moshe for Shavuos. Rav Moshe asked the following question. Every Yontif is Me'ein HaMa'ira. Sukkis, we sit in the sukkah. Pesach, we eat matzah, chagamatzos. Every Yontif is called the Yontif because we do that thing on that Yontif. Shavuos, we don't do Shavuos on Shavuos. Why is it called Shavuos? Shavuos is over. By Shavuos comes Shavuos. The Shavuos we counted, or the weeks we counted, are over already. It's the 50th day already, the 51st day. So why is Shavuos called Shavuos? Shavuos should be called Matan Torah. It's not called, it's called Shavuos. Why? So he says, what do we get on Matan Torah? We got the ability to count our own time. We count from whenever Machras HaShabbos, Pesach, if it's on Monday night, so we count from Tuesday to Tuesday, Sheva Shabbos Tmimos Tiena. We're able to count time not from Friday to Friday or Shabbos to Shabbos. We can make a week, Sheva Shabbos Tmimos Tiena, from Tuesday to Tuesday. The power to create our own time, which means Rav Moshe says we have the power on Shavuos to create time. And Oilam Shana Nefesh, the three things that we have in the Sefer Yetzirah of Oilam, a world, our physical dimension, our world is this world, this room right now, Shana, the time, 12:30, and Nefesh, these Nefashos, we have never been here together before. These Nefashos, in this place, at this time, have never converged before, in this place, at this time, ever before, nor will we ever be here before again, at this place, at this time. Maybe next year, God willing. But Olam Shana Nefesh means that we have the ability through Shavuos, the Matan Torah, to create our own Bria. We are many creators to create our own Bria. And what is that ability to create? He says the following. Yetzias Mitzrayim was a free gift. We were worshipping idols. But yet Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And after the euphoria of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're put down in the Midbar. We counted 42 days after Kriyas Yamsuf, and we walked with snakes and scorpions in the desert. We had travail. It wasn't very pretty. It was difficult. Mara. And then finally we came to Matan Torah. We came to Har Sinai. We see the Torah. Rav Moshe says, this is the model for life. First we give a free gift. We give it a gift. A free gift. Undeserved. Then Hashem takes away the free gift and puts us in the Midbar. And then we achieve Matan Torah. We achieve our own Kabbalah Satorah. For example, we start off with adolescence. It's a free gift, a lot of fun. But then we come to middle years, we get confused, and that's the Midbar. Until we graduate high school, and then we have Matan Torah. Then we start all over again. We go to Beis Medrash, and I'm confused. But then we work through it, and we work through Rebbeim, and then you work through the desert, and then you finally know how to learn a Gemara. So now you have Matan Torah. We get married. It's euphoric. Beautiful. Shav Rachas. You're heady times of emotional love. It's fantastic. But it's a free gift. Then you work through 25 years of challenges and crises and raising children and Targil Banim and, right? Do you love me? Do I what? The 25 years? I suppose 25 years of marriage. Then you go, I suppose I do. Right? And then after 20, when this thing about that you finish each other's statements, you know, we're on the same page. We finished. You were thinking, I was thinking, you know when that happens? After 25 years, maybe, probably about 35 years that happens. But kids today want it to happen when? The first year of marriage. How come we're not together on the same page? They have no resilience. As the Rav spoke last night and said, because we have no zitzfleisch, because we have the technology, we don't have an ability of staying power. So we have no commitment power. Rav Moshe says, that's how the world works. First you give it a gift, getting married. Then you have to work on it, and be for 25 years, to be kind to it. And then you come to Matan Torah. Then you come to the chuppah called Matan Torah. Because otherwise it's called Nahama de Kisufa. Otherwise it's called Bread of Shame, where you're given a free gift and you live with a silver spoon in your mouth. And therefore we're given this gift of Tamidim. An opportunity to mechanek children, to bring them to the Olam Haba. To our gift of being Moirim and Mechanchim and Rebbeim. But it's hard. Come January, February, oh my gosh, these kids are like, and I'm going to January, it's 4 months to go, 5 months to go, I don't know how I'm going to handle this. You're in the Midbar. But you have to keep going till Shavuos, till Matan Torah. Until you can have like a half an hour break and go play baseball outside. Right? A little distractions. But at the end of the day, you have to persevere. So Rav Moshe says, first you're given a gift called the Tamidim. Then you're given the Midbar. Hashem takes away the gift on purpose. He takes away the euphoria of marriage on purpose. He takes the euphoria of childhood away on purpose. Why? Because of Nahamad Kisuf, because he wants you to earn it. He wants to be kind at yourself. Your avoida. And then once you put in the effort and you're kind at yourself, then you achieve the kinyan of Matan Torah. It's not easy to learn a Gemara. But once you put yourself through it, and you travail, and you make Yigiyas HaTorah, Amelus HaTorah, then you receive Matan Torah. So too with self-esteem. So I invite everyone to please consider this program. Please bring it to your school. Please register. Please come talk to me about it over Shabbos or today. And I'm happy to work with you and to advise you and to guide you to help bring self-esteem to kids. It's not going to be easy. But it's an avodah that will bring a new level of matan Torah, because if they believe in themselves, then they'll be able to be better avdei Hashem.